Hey there, everybody. Welcome out to another episode of Redeemed Through His Blood. Scott Durfee here, joined as always by David Durfee.
Good to see you, Scott.
It's good to see you, too. I owe you a bottle of peanut M&Ms.
Yeah,
well, that's not why. We do have a bottle of peanut M&Ms here for David, but I owe you one to take home because of what happened last week, Dave. we're doing a re-record today because we had a little technical issue last week.
You owe me nothing.
Actually, I think that'll end up being a blessing because we played Deb's episode, I think, for the second time, and every time we do. In fact, I got a text yesterday from one of my old missionary companions. Lynn Yardley texted me yesterday, and he said, thanks for playing Deb's episode yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was really great. So, I don't know. You know, maybe sometimes things like that happen for a reason. But, you know, as we've been going through everything that we've been going through this season, we just wrapped up prior to the last episode where we brought Deb's back. But prior to that, we just wrapped up the events of the Atonement of Jesus Christ, which is great. That's one of my favorite parts of talking about this as we get into the effects and so on. Now we will expand our discussion as we move into a very important topic, the topic of faith, Dave. So,
yeah, Scott. And by the way, I wonder if how often individuals, you and me, all of us, how often we really even think about the effects of the Atonement of Jesus Christ in our life. I think probably most of us, not all of us, but probably most of us think about it when we pray. We try to express gratitude for that. I've heard lots of prayers that where it's never mentioned, but I imagine most people who pray think about the gift of God's Son and not just the gift of his Son, but the gifts that flow into our life because of the Son's sacrifice and atonement. But I just since we're talking about faith today, I mean, to build faith, one has to really be focused on our Heavenly Father, gifts that flow into our lives from him, his creations, the atonement of Jesus Christ and how it affects us not only every day but every moment of every day. And I just wonder, I'm just sitting here wondering, how often do we even, you know, really think about it?
That's a great question. You know, it's interesting you'd bring that up because this is something that I've actually thought about over the last several weeks myself. In fact, we talked about it in Institute a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. You know, how often do we really notice and feel or acknowledge that we're noticing and feeling the effects of the Atonement of Jesus Christ? And I think, Dave, you know, if we just put that in our mind, then we, through intention, you know, if we're more intentional and we just decide, okay, I'm going to start noticing those things that we do. I woke up yesterday morning, actually the other morning, Monday morning, I woke up Monday morning, and I was being fully reminded of the fall of Scott Durfee, you know, just my physical body. I mean, I have some health issues.
Yeah.
And I had to call our friend, your nephew, my rheumatologist, and say, hey, this is what's going on. And he took care of it for me, and I felt better almost instantly. And I immediately gave thanks for the effects of the Atonement of Jesus Christ. Because you know, that's where one of the effects of the Atonement of Jesus Christ takes care of our physical fall.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I mean, you know, you think you brought it up. How often do we think about it? Well, we have reason to think about it every day as our bodies rejuvenate and as our, you know, lives change in different ways. So
I listened to I can't remember. I listened to a lot of things, whether it was a podcast or a TED Talk or whatever, but you know, it was a man that's highly respected and has a great reputation. As far as I know, he's a good person. Anyway, he said, if you want to change your life, you can do that with two words, and you must use them at least twice a day. Thank you.
Gratitude, huh? Yeah.
And when he was talking about this, and he said, so how many of you would like to change your life? And every hand went up. And he said, how many of you want to change your life enough to say thank you tonight before you go to bed? And most of the hands went up. And then he said, how many of you think that you could wake up in the morning and remember to say thank you in the morning? Again, most of the hands went up. And he said, within 3 days, only half of you will be doing it. And within a week, only a few of you will be doing it.
Right.
But he said, if you want to change your life, you can do it with two words.
Thank you. Huh?
Just say thank you every night before you go to bed, and say thank you every morning when you wake up.
Wow, yeah.
Now, and you know, it's kind of profound, really.
Yeah.
And I have done that recently. I don't know if I'll be doing it a week from now.
Well, you know.
You know maybe, how that goes.
Yeah, I do.
Human nature.
And maybe I can help hold you accountable.
There you go.
Okay.
Human nature. But but when I say it, I think of the atonement.
Right.
I don't know. This man that was speaking was Jewish.
Okay.
And even then, it will change your life, no yeah. matter what religion you are.
Right.
No matter if you have faith or no faith, agnostics or atheists can say thank you and feel gratitude.
Yep.
But the power that can flow into your life through the gratitude that you have for Jesus Christ and the effects and blessings and gifts of the atonement that flow into our life every moment of our life, Scott, can totally be life-changing. It can transform us.
It can if we let it, you know, and there's a lot of reason for that. You know, we talk about in this podcast how gratitude is the beginning of desire. You know, just that being grateful will give us a deeper desire, and that deeper desire will lend impetus to us following him more closely, more effectively, etc. So, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, and in fact, I think it's probably true in all recovery groups, gratitude's one of those things is super important. You know, we have gratitude lists. We say the same thing, you know, in the morning, get up and ask for help and thanks for the night before. And then at night, thanks for getting me through the day sober, you know, and so much, much more. Yeah, a lot of power there.
Well, I think it is the beginning of desire. And I think most of our listeners would agree that desire is maybe the beginning of faith. I mean, if you don't have any desire to have faith, you're not going to seek to have faith or to even grow your faith.
Right.
So, again, we're kind of starting with that, but let's jump into the subject of faith. And to begin with, to really introduce it, Scott, I think that the greatest misconception maybe among students who I taught for many, many years is that repentance is what changes people's lives. And I know that repentance is change, and I know what President Nelson has taught about repentance. But I just want to say this up front to introduce it. There is no power in repentance. Repentance does not change us. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the power behind repentance, and it is the power, faith in Jesus Christ, that changes us. Faith is the power. When Elder Anderson asked me to summarize the course that I had kind of designed and taught at UVU and give him kind of the three or four most important points of the entire course, I wrote him a long email, and this is one of those three or four major points that one must get across in this course. And so we can't emphasize this subject strong enough, is that faith is the transformative, faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement is the transformative power behind repentance and behind change and behind becoming a saint. It's faith. It is, President Nelson said, it is the greatest power of God available to us, is the gift of faith. And it is a gift. It is not something that you can just acquire on your own or obtain by your own good works or efforts. It's a gift of the Spirit. Faith is, I think it's maybe the first gift of the Spirit listed in the Scriptures. Faith is a gift that comes to us through the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot have the power of faith. And when we speak of faith, Scott, there are many levels. There's the level of belief or hope in faith, and then there's knowledge, and then there's power. So there's this kind of this continuum going upward. It's kind of really like a helix, as Elder Bednar taught it years ago, and it progresses based upon we get a belief of something, and then we obtain knowledge by our experience and confirmation of the Spirit, and it goes up, and it becomes greater and greater until we have the power of faith in our lives. We'll talk more about that and use some scriptural examples, but it is the power behind all of the good things that we receive. In fact, Scott, in defining it, I used to ask my students, does God have faith? And I would say more than half of them would say no, because he knows all things. You know, there's those scriptures that we kind of wrestle with in Ether chapter 3 and other places, that because once you know it, you don't need faith. Well, when you come to know it, you're on a different level of faith, and your faith is replaced by a greater power. But faith is something that God has to have. Faith is the power that he was able to create the worlds. Now, I know there's power in his priesthood, in his keys, and all of that as well. But faith is that's what Paul said, that it was through faith that God created the worlds. So, faith is the power of godliness. Faith is the power behind God's actions and behaviors. And faith is the power behind everything that we do, which will lead us, hopefully, to salvation and exaltation. I remember President Nelson and I working, Elder Anderson and I working on the book, and honestly, it's impossible to write a chapter strong enough on this topic of faith, because it is so key. Faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement is the absolute key to not only starting the process of repentance, but continuing in that process and eventually receiving the miracle of forgiveness, the greatest miracle of all. And there was a story told many years ago by Todd Bridge in the Ensign magazine, and it really affected me. I think I was a branch president of the Missionary Training Center at the time, and when I read it, I thought, wow, that is my problem too. He was a bishop of a student ward that they called him back then, be a young single adult ward today. And being a bishop of a student ward, or today, if you were a bishop of a young adult ward, you're trying to help young folks repent. That's a major part of your calling, right? Is trying to help them to get connected to the Savior and to be forgiven of their sins. Well, he was hearing a lot of confessions, just like I was at the time, being at the MTC. I mean, I spent most of my time at the MTC listening to confessions. And I'll share a few of those stories later in future podcasts. But he was really frustrated one day, because he kept hearing the same confessions from the same people over and over and over again. And he thought, wow, he thought he was a failure. He felt like he was a failure. I'm not helping these people. I'm not helping these young people. They just keep making the same mistakes, committing the same sins, confessing over and over and over again. Well, he made that a matter of prayer, and one day he happened to just serendipitously reading the Articles of Faith, and he read the fourth Article of Faith. You know, we believe that the first four principles and ordinances of the gospel are. And he said the next few lines just kind of pulsated off the page. First, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, repentance. And he hit, you know, oh, he knew immediately what his problem was. He said that every time they came in to confess sins, he would talk about repentance. It, probably the steps of repentance, as most people like to teach it or speak of it. And he said, I never talked about faith with his, you know, members that were trying to repent. He said, I always gave them such great information and would fill them with inspiring thoughts on repentance. But they never really were able to do it. And Scott, based on that experience, my own experience, and many, many, many students who I've spoken to and in ecclesiastical positions that I've been, I know this is a truth, this is a fact, this is the reality, that when you're spinning your wheels, when you seem like you just can't change, when you feel like you just keep making the same mistakes, committing the same sins over and over and over again, without exception, I can tell you why. It's probably not because you're not repenting. The reason why is because you do not have sufficient faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atonement. Maybe you believe in him, but you just don't believe him. And this subject, this podcast and our next podcast on faith is kind of the hinge of that swings the door of repentance and forgiveness. It's kind of the fulcrum on which you can go, you know, either way, this is it. This is faith is the power to receive the miracles, blessings, gifts, and that includes forgiveness. So I hope that as we speak of it today and in our next podcast, that individuals will take it upon themselves to make it a study. I mean, until you really understand what faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atonement means, to try to repent without knowing that, it may become a somewhat of a frustrating or futile experience. So I hope that we can do it justice, and I hope our listeners can be motivated to make it a personal study and a quest to increase wherever they're at in their faith. And I know everyone has faith. Faith is, every human being, I believe, has some faith in something and some level, at some level. I mean, the lectures on faith, in essence, say that. And I believe that. So I hope that our listeners will make it a quest, wherever they're at in their faith, to increase their faith.
Right.
Their faith, especially in Jesus Christ and his atonement.
I think that oftentimes I'm asked this. I know you have been over the years too, but and I've asked it myself. I've wondered it myself. But how do I access the blessings, the benefits, the effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ, especially those conditional ones? You know, those conditional benefits, those conditional blessings, effects that come to us as a result of the atonement of Jesus Christ. It has occurred to me that they are most available to us based on the level of our faith, Dave. Yeah. And you know, for me, this has been one that has been a wrestle, if you will. I don't know if I'd call it a struggle. Maybe you would.
Well, I think wrestle's a positive word.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely been a wrestle, you know, because it's been something that I have definitely had to ingest. I have had to look at where in my life would it be better if my faith was stronger? Where in my life is it... is a lack of faith holding me back, and lack of faith in what, you know? And so just determining all of those things, where faith should be, what it's about, how it should be working in my life. I have a scripture here. This has been really helpful for me, and this is an old scripture mastery. I did Book of Mormon my ninth grade year of seminary, and I still remember this as being part of this. Well, it's
power of seminary. I like that.
Yeah, but it's an important scripture. Now, as I said, this is Alma 32:21. Now, as I said concerning faith, faith isn't to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if you have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And for me, that has just been an important thing. You hope for things which are not seen, but they're true. And, you know, I think through an eye of faith, those things that are not seen become, through that eye of faith, sometimes can be seen to us as well. So.
Yeah, well, and we're going to talk about that scripture in Psalm 32:21, Scott, because I think that is the beginning of faith. That's the beginning. That's the I don't want to say lowest level, because it's an important level that we must all go through in order to have faith, is that we have this hope in things we can't see, which are true. That's the level of faith that Alma was trying to teach the Zoramites, who were apostates, as they were coming back into the faith. And that's where missionaries start when they're teaching non-members. They teach by teaching that faith is something that you believe in, that you can see, that is true. Okay, so I love that definition of faith, but that's where someone begins. That's the lowest level of faith, is to believe in something that you can see, which is true. But eventually, you have to get beyond that and obtain the eye of faith, where I believe it and I see it.
Through an eye of faith.
Through the eye of faith,
yeah.
I see it.
Yep.
That's a higher level of faith, and we'll talk about that. But you used the word
wrestle.
The wrestle, and so I immediately thought of Enos, right? And Enos says in the Book of Mormon, I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before I received a remission of my sins. And then he talks about this wrestle, how his soul hungered. Now think about this in terms of faith. He hungered. He really hungered for it. And he knelt down before his Maker, and he cried unto him in mighty prayer. These are all ways to increase our faith. And then he hears eventually, in his wrestle, he hears the words of the Lord say, Enos, calls him by name, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And he knows that God cannot lie, because he knows the attributes and perfections of God. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And then he says, how is it done? He cries out, how is it done? And he hears the words of the Lord, because of thy faith in Christ. That's it, Scott. How is it done? Because of thy faith in Christ. There is no other answer that the Lord, that even the Lord can give. How is it that I'm forgiven? how is it that I'm clean, that I'm become purified? How is that possible? There's only one answer. Because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast never before heard nor seen. Well, that's the importance of faith, Scott. And faith is the power behind all the good things that we do. In fact, I used to tell my students, why did you get out of bed this morning? Why did you get out of bed? Well, because I had to. Well, you didn't have to.
Right.
Why did you get out of bed this morning? And if you really get down to it, Scott, it's because they had hope that something good was going to happen, or maybe even something bad was going to happen if they didn't.
Right.
But they had some idea that they needed to get out of, and they had faith that it would. And so they, in the lectures on faith, again, the definition, and really the lowest level of faith, is that faith is a principle of action. Everything that we do, every act that we commit, we do it because of faith in something. Now you can have true faith and you can have false faith, but you believe something's going to happen, and therefore you do it. That's faith as a principle of action. That's a definition of faith. In the lectures on faith, lecture one, faith is also a principle of power. That's a higher level. That's a level where, you know, Jacob, we read Alma's description or his definition in Alma 32:21, but let's read Jacob's definition of faith and as an example of faith and what it is in Jacob chapter 6. I think it's verse 4, Scott. So in Jacob chapter 6, verse 4, Jacob gives us this description of faith. And listen carefully to how he obtained this level of faith. Jacob 6, verse 4.
Wherefore, we search the prophets, and we have many revelations.
All right, so listen. Right off the bat, what do they do?
I was searching the prophets.
It takes extreme work and study to search the prophets, Scott. It's not just, I'm going to read a verse a day. It's, they searched.
Yeah, that's a much a different experience.
They searched. They didn't just read. They searched. Okay, they were seekers. In order to obtain great faith, you must be a seeker. Okay, what else?
Okay, wherefore we search the prophets, and we have many revelations.
What else, Scott?
Many revelations.
You can't receive faith
without revelation.
Without revelation.
And the spirit of prophecy.
Which is a testimony of Christ.
Right.
Right? That's the definition of prophecy given to us in the book of Revelation. I think it's 19:10. The prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. And what else?
And having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope, and our faith becomes unshaken.
Okay, so they get these witnesses, they search, they receive revelation, and now they have all of these witnesses in which they know to be true by revelation, and they what?
Their faith has become unshaken.
They have hope, and this hope is not just a wish, it's an assurance. They begin to have knowledge and assurance, and their faith then becomes unshakable.
Yeah.
And what do they do? What's the notice the example of the power of faith here?
Insomuch that we truly can command the name in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea.
Wow. Then the next, just read the next verse for fun.
Nevertheless, the Lord God showeth us His weak. Showeth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by His grace and His great condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things.
So where does He give all the credit?
To Jesus.
His grace.
Yeah. His grace.
His grace, yeah. His condescension.
The effects.
He knows it's not because of anything He did to have that kind of faith. I think that maybe one of the beginning points of faith, Scott, going back to Alma chapter 32, verse 21, is it takes great humility and meekness. I mean, we've talked about gratitude being the beginning of desire, and you have to have desire to have faith, but somewhere right there with desire, you have to have humility and meekness. I love what Alma's trying to teach these people on the hill of Oneida. As they come to Him and they've been cast out of their homes, cast out of their city. And He says, well, you know, it would have been better if you would have become humble because of the word. But it's great that you're here now and that you have been compelled to be humble. It's verses 15 through 17. Scott, are you there? Alma 32?
Yep.
15 through 17.
Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed. Yea, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble because of their exceeding poverty. Therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble, or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, yea, without being brought to know the word or even compelled to know before they will believe. Yea, there are many who do say, if thou wilt show unto us a sign from heaven, then we shall know of a surety, then we shall believe.
So what do you get out of that? Yeah, in regards to...
Well, and let me read 18. Now I ask, is this faith? Behold, I say unto you, nay. For a man knoweth the thing, he hath no cause to believe it, for he knoweth it. I mean...
meaning, not... So, again, this is a little bit problematic because people say, well, if I know it, then I don't need faith. Well, I think what Alma's really saying here, when you think you know it, you don't need any faith. Yeah. When you think you know everything... When you think you're the man, you can do everything on your... You don't need faith, which is knowing and believing in Christ. You know, I think he's kind of using that a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
Maybe. You know, but I think that knowing it does still require faith. You know, and again, that'll get into the next level of faith as we talk about that, because knowing it, it still requires faith for it to take place, for it to come to pass in many cases and around many things. So, you know, faith and knowing it don't necessarily preclude themselves.
Well, no, knowing it, as long as that knowledge has come from God.
Right. Yep.
And through not the Spirit. Because of your own great genius.
Yeah.
Because you think you know everything.
Right.
If the knowledge is accompanied with this deep humility and meekness, which he's describing there, and this dependence upon God for that knowledge, then yeah, absolutely. But, you know, sometimes we think we know it all, and when we think we know it all, well, then we're not even going to seek for faith. So faith begins really with not just desire, which Alma, by the way, talks about in, I think it's verse 27, Scott. Find the word desire in verse 27 right there. It begins with desire, but, you know, planting the seed, before you plant the seed, you know, which is the word.
Right.
The seed is not faith.
Right.
In his great analogy or metaphor here of planting a seed, the seed is the word, and before you're going to take the action to plant the word in your heart, there has to be desire. But even before that, he says, you have to have the humility, and it's best if you're not compelled to be humble. So many people, we talk about rock bottom, right? You talk about that in addiction recovery rooms.
Yep.
Is great. Glad you're here because you hit rock bottom. It doesn't matter why you're here, but we're glad you're here because you were compelled to be humble.
Yep.
It would have been better if you would have become humble without hitting rock bottom because of God or the power of the word, right?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's that rock bottom that brings with it so much of the fallenness, or brings to light the fallenness of our situation, right? Physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually, you know, that fallenness that rock bottom puts us in. And there is a great deal of faith required for sure, but to have that experience without having to be compelled, totally different experience. I mean, but everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I could probably say this without fear of successful contradiction, everybody there has, hit that rock bottom, I mean, because of the decisions and so forth that we've made. Yep.
Well, so anyway, humility is really key to the obtaining of faith. And then comes this desire. He talks about desire. Scott, do you want to read that?
Yeah, this is 32. I'm a 32, verse 27. But behold, if you will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment on my word, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if you can no more than desire to believe. Let this desire work in you, even until you believe, in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words.
So desire, so important in the obtaining and the building of our faith. And then he talks about, again, the planting of that seed, and how will we know that it's a good seed? By the swelling and the enlightening and the edifying.
And the enlarging.
It'll be enlarging and delicious to me, which all spells seed. which is, I think, so interesting, right? Verse 28. And then seed is the word. And if you plant that word in your heart and it begins to grow, and he gives us the signs or evidences of its growth, then you have the beginnings of faith. And it may be a little seedling. So again, think of the levels of faith here. There's a little seedling of faith. And it grows up and it becomes a young plant. And then it grows up and it becomes a little tree. And eventually it becomes this great tree that bears fruit. And that fruit would be, of course, I think, much like the tree in Lehi's dream. It becomes the love of God, the atonement of Jesus Christ. It becomes all of the blessings and ordinances of the gospel administered into our life, the fruits of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And eventually, the greatest gift of all, the tree and the fruit represent eternal life. That's kind of in essence, Alma, chapter 32. Paul talks about how to obtain faith in much the same way, much more brief here in Alma, or in Romans chapter 10. He says, this is Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I really just love that simple definition of faith and how to obtain it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The first thing in President Nelson's great, monumental, I think, talk, a classic on the faith to move mountains, which he gave along with his witness of Christ in April of 2021. I think that was maybe Easter Sunday, if I remember. Anyway, he bears his testimony of Christ and then talks of faith. The very first thing which he mentions is that it requires great study. Again, that searching, right? It's the searching. That's how it begins. You have to eventually, for whatever, however you come to humility, whether it's hitting rock bottom, being compelled to be humble, or whether it's by your reading your scriptures daily, or by it's some event in your life. President Nelson says the five suggestions to help us to develop faith and trust in God. Number one is study. Become an engaged learner. Immerse yourself in the scriptures to better understand, not just in the scriptures generally, but immerse yourself in the scriptures to understand better Christ's mission and ministry, or in other words, his atonement. So, he talks about studying the life of Christ, study how can we come to know Jesus? Because eventually to have faith in Jesus, you must know the character, attributes, and perfections of his life and who he is. And that kind of goes back to the lectures on faith, Scott. The lectures on faith, lectures really 2 through 5, talk about the importance of knowing. In order to obtain the faith of power, you have to know the character, attributes, and perfections of God and of Christ. So, if we want to have that kind of faith, we have to come to know God. We have to come to know Jesus Christ and their attributes. President Nelson writes, or in his conference talk, he said, the more you learn about the Savior, the easier it will be to trust in his mercy, his infinite love, his strengthening, healing, and redeeming power. The Savior is never closer to you than when you are facing or climbing a mountain with faith. So the more we come to know the Savior, the more we not only will have believe in him, but the more we will be able to believe him, to trust him, to believe what he says. I think so many people, Scott, get kind of held up by just kind of seeing Jesus as some sort of a spiritual coach, or as a positive role model, or as something, which is, that's one level of faith. But to really have the faith of power to experience the miracle of forgiveness in our life, one is going to have to know Jesus Christ and who he is as their Savior and their Redeemer. That is critical in the faith in Jesus Christ to be able to work out our repentance.
There's so much benefit to that, to the knowing him. You know, John 17:3, this life eternal, right? To know the only true God in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And we know that. And we've talked about that very thing in this podcast on multiple occasions. But think about that, you know, to really come to know him. And for me, Dave, and this is the helix component that you're talking about of faith. The more I know him, the deeper my faith grows, or the more power in that faith I receive. But that knowing him requires an investment on my part. I can't just read words on a page. I can't just go to and listen to Sunday school lessons or even quorum meetings or Relief Society lessons or podcasts or whatever to know him. I really have to know him. And to know him, I have to spend time there. You know, I've got to just spend a significant, important, meaningful time with the Savior so that I can begin to feel that, as President Nelson puts it, as I can then begin to have that level of faith in my life where the effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ are seen by me for sure, but maybe even witnessed by others as well in my life, Dave.
That requires, I think, Scott, a lot of focus,
yeah,
a lot of intention. It has to be intentional, some planning. I mean, it usually doesn't just happen by chance.
It can't happen by chance. It requires a great deal of effort. There's work, definite work, that's required by us in order to have that relationship built on our knowing him, our actually having that relationship with him.
Well, President Nelson, after talking about studying and the effort to really study to come to know Jesus, the second step in obtaining faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement is to choose, it's a key word, to choose to believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
To choose to believe him. Elder Anderson years ago talked about faith is a choice. It is a choice. It is not something that we just dawns on us, or it's not something that just, comes upon us. One must make the choice, and I just think that's such an important part. And one must stop. This is President Nelson. Stop increasing your doubts by rehearsing them with other doubters. Allow the Lord to lead you on your spiritual journey. In other words, choose to believe and focus on your faith, and not choose to. Who said that? President Ugdorf? Don't doubt your doubts. Doubt
I think
your doubts.
It was Elder Holland.
Doubt maybe. Your doubts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. choose that.
I think it was Elder Holland, but yeah, it was. If you're going to doubt your doubts, right? But
it's a choice, Scott.
Yeah,
faith is a choice.
And if that's the case. If it is a choice, and but it does require effort on our part, then I think that investment that it requires of us, making the choice, spending time with him, well, spending time with him is a manifestation, for example, of our choice. But making that choice and all the manifestations that come with that choice are really what's going to propel us into that faith, Dave.
The third step President Nelson gives us is to act in faith. Faith requires action. You know, faith without works is dead. And I would say work without faith is also dead. But he says here, think about it. That requires some focus and action.
Right.
Think about it. He even says, write about it. Don't just study it. Write about it. Maybe as you receive thoughts and inspiration about how to increase your faith, or how to righteously exercise your faith, write it. Then receive more faith by doing something that requires more faith. I think that's an awesome sentence. Receive more faith by doing something that requires more faith. Can you think of any examples of that, Scott, that our listeners could maybe relate to?
Examples of?
Someone who receives more faith, who chooses to receive more faith by doing something that requires more faith.
I think of Joseph Smith, for example. You know, he had a little bit of faith. He read if any of you lack wisdom, he knew he did. He felt like, well, I can go exercise some faith in that, and he did. And look what happened. I mean, his faith became a sure knowledge. And so many others, too, Dave. What have you got on the top of your head there?
Well, you know, I'm thinking of my sweetheart, you know. Yeah. She never felt like she could really call upon God for forgiveness until she had worked it all out for herself.
You know how many of us have felt that
saved
way.
Saved by grace after all we can do.
After all
and
we can do.
She thought she had to do it all.
Before she could even approach.
Before she could even ask.
Yeah.
And it kept her from taking the next step,
yeah,
which was to ask. I mean, I just think that's such a simple simple thing to do, but it requires great faith. Really, to ask God to forgive me requires great faith. Sometimes we, as Latter-day Saints, sometimes, Scott, we're hitting all around it, but we never get to the point where we cry out. We'll talk about that when we talk about repentance, where we cry out and we ask God to save us. Man, we almost become defensive about that. We you know, I mean, really, we think
we really do.
I don't want to be an evangelical Christian.
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
Heaven forbid.
Yeah,
and so we never get around to taking that action, to crying out, asking God to forgive us, to save us.
Yep,
I think that would be a really positive thing for most of us to have the faith enough to actually take the next step, and which would be to take that action,
yeah,
to cry out.
Yep.
And there are so many other examples. There's practical examples of individuals who, to be able to take the faith to go offer someone your forgiveness.
Right.
That requires
That's
great
a
faith.
A lot of faith.
Yeah. To forgive others.
Yeah.
Requires great faith, Scott.
There's a lot of faith required in service. You know, I went to
the minister.
Right. I went to a missionary farewell of our dear little niece, Sadie, the other day. And, you know, that the level of faith that is being required by her to go and do what she's being asked to do.
Go on a mission.
That's
to
huge.
Hawaii.
Yeah. And her parents, you know.
Yeah.
Dario and Lori require great faith in order for them to experience what they're experiencing there as well. So.
Well, we should talk more about this later, but one of the steps of... to really obtain great faith in the lectures on faith is in lecture 6, and it requires great sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So one of the actions that we should all consider, what can we do to increase our faith, is what sacrifice can I make? What sacrifice am I not making? Maybe it would be to go to the temple more often. Maybe the sacrifice of time to do certain things, or a sacrifice of maybe getting up early in the morning to study the scriptures before we go to work, or the sacrifice of paying our tithes and our offerings, and to do all of those things, and ultimately the sacrifice of King Lamoni, that we would give King Lamoni's father, that we would offer all of our sins as a sacrifice to the Lord, to put our sins on the altar, and ultimately the sacrifice of our will, to put our will on the altar. Those are all actions that should be considered, that we should consider. And the fourth, by President Nelson, to increase our faith, the faith to move mountains, is to partake of sacred ordinances worthily. And he says, ordinances unlock the power of God for your life. I think of Doctrine and Covenants, section 84. It's in the ordinances thereof, speaking of the temple, in the ordinances thereof is the power of godliness manifest. I know that power is the atonement of Jesus Christ in our life, but it's also the power of faith in our life. So participating more in the ordinances, including the sacrament, including all of the saving ordinances of the gospel, will unlock the power of God or faith in our life. And the fifth and final step of President Nelson in his talk, Faith to Move Mountains, ask your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ for help. Faith takes work, and receiving revelation takes work. So, I think what he's saying there is we need revelation. It needs to, we need to receive it as a gift, but in order to receive that gift, we have to qualify for it. And qualifying for it takes some effort on our part. Asking for it, asking for God's help in our development of faith, asking for revelation, asking for confirmation, that all requires great effort. And ultimately, it comes, faith comes as we receive revelation and through the Holy Ghost. So those are the five steps how to increase our faith in President Nelson's. And I encourage everyone to maybe go back and review that talk if they want to increase their faith. That's April 2021.
Well, Dave, great day. I mean, as we start talking about and moving into repentance, you know, we've kind of set the stage. You know, we talked about over the last several weeks why the atonement's important, to how it answers the effects of the fall of Adam and Eve, and how it answers the effects of our own personal falls. We've also talked about how understanding and really knowing the events of the atonement of Jesus Christ will give us a deeper gratitude, a deeper desire to have that faith, to know Him, to come to Him, to have the blessings bestowed on us, or to qualify for the blessings that come to us, both the conditional and the unconditional blessings of the atonement of Jesus Christ. And to have faith in that will dispel fear. And I think that that's one of the great benefits that we will all experience as we embark on this journey of obtaining and gaining and exercising and growing in faith, from faith in Jesus Christ to even a faith of power. So, hey, gang, thanks so much for being with us today as we talk about these things. We hope that you feel the Spirit. We know that we do here. We pray that you do there as well. Until we can be together again next week, be well.